All right, should we get to our sexy story this week?
Ladies, gentlemen, you cannot unsuck that dick.
It was hot.
It was really quite something.
Do you like when someone else makes me moan?
Do not show up looking like you slept in your clothes. In your car.
There is nothing sexier than getting railed by two dudes at the same time. I'll just say that. Part two of my naughty California trip. I'm going to be retelling it today, but first we want to say thank you to Cassidy.com for sponsoring this episode of Front Porch Swingers. We get messages almost daily asking how to get involved in the lifestyle, and honestly, there's many different ways, but the easiest way, in our opinion, is to get on Cassidy, because not only can you see the sexy people in your area, but you can also see all the events that are coming up, whether you want to go to one in your own city, or you're traveling for work or for pleasure, and want to see what's going on where you're traveling, you can see it all at Cassidy. And the best part is, listeners of this show can try it free for an entire month. All you have to do is head to frontporchswingers.com and click on the Cassidy banner at the bottom of the homepage. Again, that's frontporchswingers.com. Click on the Cassidy banner to get started for free today. We hope to see you at cassidy.com. So we've had a very eventful week, a little bit slutty.
Yeah, it was pretty slutty. Very, very full. Very full schedule.
Are you tired?
I am exhausted.
You look a little tired.
I'm exhausted.
You're still handsome. You just look tired.
I'm exhausted. I am unshaven. I'm so wiped out. And we have to get ready to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get on a plane to fly to Denver.
Yeah. I'm excited for this weekend. So this weekend, we're going to be hosting the Real Hot Wives of Denver event. And we've done this multiple times now before. So I feel like kind of on autopilot with it to some degree. And yeah. So that makes it just fun. Like, we just get to go and focus on introducing people to each other and connecting. Friday night, we're going to go out with a little group to dinner. And then we're probably going to do some naked karaoke and some hot tubbing.
Yeah.
And it'll just be chill. Saturday is obviously a lot of work because the event itself is a lot of work, but I'm just excited. I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I'm eager for the weekend. It's just, I'm just exhausted. I'm ready for a break. We were just talking about, as soon as we get back, it's like less than 10 days, we fly to New Orleans.
I know.
Like, there's no break. And then July is fucking madness.
Well, and we also have Tease, the opening of Tease, which
Saturday
is
the first.
Our lifestyle speakeasy that we're going to be doing the first Saturday of every month here in Las Vegas. And yeah, the first one is July 1st. So that is creeping up very quickly on us.
Yeah, then we've got the 16th, Sea Mountain, and then the 20th, third Thursday of every month, of course, Hot Wives of Las Vegas. We have friends coming in town. It's fucking, it's just a full schedule for July.
Well, I'm really excited for our friends to come to town because we're going to go see Absinthe with them.
Yes.
And we're going to go to the Golden Steer, which is this great steakhouse here. We're celebrating a birthday.
Yeah.
I think we're going to strip club it up.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be a fucking jam-packed month, but I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We're actually postponing our August Denver event because we just can't get it all in.
Yeah, it's
just
too much. We're fucking tired, man.
Well, I mean, we're just spread so thin between our personal schedules and professional schedules. I mean, I just need a break.
Yeah. This guy reached out to me. I've been talking to a new single guy. Very attractive, very cool. But we were looking at kind of our combined schedules. He was fucking smart, this guy. He sent me a screenshot of his calendar for June and July because he's kind of high powered and he does a lot of shit. And so we were comparing, like, when are you available to when I'm available? The next time we're both available is July 27th.
Well, so that's kind of what happened with myself and the gal that I spent some time with the other day. Our schedules are insane. She and her husband travel a lot, just like us. So we kind of sat down and we were looking at our schedules, our calendars, after we got a chance to play to see when we could see each other again. I think it's like, it's either the end of July or the middle of August. Like, okay. And we live like a quarter of a mile apart.
Yeah, we can almost see her house from our house.
So it's so ridiculous. But yeah, it's been nuts and fun, but really hectic. We have so much shit going on. We just locked down Austin for November. I'm fucking pumped.
We're doing
that.
A Hot Wives event in Austin.
Hot Wives of Austin. I can't wait because you've never been to Austin.
No.
I lived there for a long time and I fucking loved it. I know it's not the same. My brother tells me it's not the same, but I really cannot wait to get you there. And we're going to be hosting at Colette Austin. I am fucking excited for that.
Yeah, I think I'd like to go a couple days early and have you take me to some like music venues and cool places.
Yeah, so we will definitely do that. I figured either before or after we'll stay a couple of days just to make sure we can take in the whole experience.
So basically what we're saying is, in true Brenna and Brian fashion, we can't fucking sit still. We overcommit to everything and we're going to be exhausted until we die.
Pretty much.
So we can sleep when we're dead, you know?
Pretty much. Me sooner than later, I think.
What? Don't say that. That's fucking horrible. You always make going to die soon jokes, and I'm like, that's really not funny.
Well, I'm definitely not going to be around as long as you, that's for sure. So
you don't know. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Unlikely. Unlikely. I'm more likely to get hit by a bus.
So you had a play date with the lady that you have not played with for like 9 freaking months,
Been. Yeah, we had drinks a couple of months ago, had an opportunity to have to see each other, and we just wanted to reconnect, you know, had a great time, went to one of our favorite spots and one of her favorite spots as well, had a couple of drinks, had a great time, planned to see each other a couple of times. Something fell through either on our end, my end, or her end. Finally got together. It was amazing. Had a fucking blast.
Yeah, you said it was pretty fucking kinky and naughty.
It was super hot. Well, you know, it's been 7 or 8 months. I forgot just how fucking hot it was.
She was like super orgasmic. And
yeah, and super sensitive and just really responsive to things. And it wasn't until all of this was going on, I was like, oh shit, I had completely forgotten about this, because it really was a long time ago.
That's kind of hot though. It was like the first time all over again.
Yeah, it was like playing with somebody for the first time. It was super fucking hot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. So hopefully I'll see her again before another 7 months.
Well, and I also had a play date on Monday. That was fun. I really enjoyed my time with... This is the same guy I've been playing with pretty regularly. He and I played at the Real Hot Wives of Las Vegas event last week. And then this week he came back over for a little afternoon rendezvous. I was like, can you be out of the house at like 2? Because I want to get boned. You're like, sure.
Yeah, I can find something to do. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we have a lot going on. I mean, you know, between my regular play partners, some, you know, this new gal I haven't seen in a while, you're kind of regular fun. And I played also at our Hot Wives of Las Vegas event for the first time in a long time with Jade also, who was there. So yeah, it's been full, man. We had a lot of shit happening.
You've been a slut.
Yeah, I've been slutting it up a little.
I like it.
Well, we were just talking about that on, I guess on our bonus episode. I get, not in ruts, I get really comfortable, you know, with my partners and, you know, so it's difficult for me to step outside of that because things are great. I really enjoy my time with both Susan and Jade. So for me to play with anybody else, it's like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Right. But one of the things you and I also talked about on that bonus episode is being a creature of habit is really great for a lot of things. And in my opinion, the lifestyle is not one of them. No. Like, it's fine to have people that you're comfortable with, but you can't give up on really cool opportunities just because you would be stepping out of your comfort zone.
No. So you might be impressed by this. I showed you an image of a gal who reached out to me on Cassidy.
Yeah.
I reached back out to her and asked her if she wanted to get together.
Oh, look at you. You made the first move?
Never do. Well, not really. She reached out to me first and was like, oh, hey, I'm so-and-so. Really love your picture. You're super handsome, yada, yada. I reached back out to her. Thank you so much. But that was like a week ago. And that was really all there was. So I reached back out to her and said, hey, should you have any interest and you have, you know, our schedules aligned, love to take you out for a drink.
Ooh,
that was today.
So, that's exciting. Yeah. She hasn't reached back out yet, though?
I haven't looked, so I'm not sure. I'd take a look.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm trying. You know, it's not easy. I like what I like. I'm a terrible fucking creature of habit, right?
Yeah.
If someone wanted the same
things, you go to the same places, you get the same drink everywhere
If somebody wanted to assassinate me, it would not take you long to figure out how to make that happen.
No.
I get up the same time every day. I make coffee. I eat the same thing every fucking day. We go to the same places. I go to the gym the same time every day. It's pretty fucking routine. So it wouldn't be hard.
It's not routine. It's called rigid. You are a rigid man.
I enjoy rigidity. I do.
What's so funny is I'm so the polar opposite of
that. I know. And I think you have to have that balance.
If
both of us were you, it would be two squirrels fighting in a paper bag. If it were two people like me, I mean, it would be fucking terrible. It'd just be total fucking neuroses all the time.
Well, and you know where that's most evident to me, how good of a partnership we have, is when we do go to lifestyle events.
Oh,
because
for sure.
You are the level-headed, responsible adult, and I'm the fun one, and I bring you into the fun, and you level me out.
Well, even when we travel at all.
Yeah.
It's always that way. You're like, oh, let's go this, and this. And it's like, wait, hang on a second. Let me lay out for you what that actually looks like. The logistics of that make no fucking sense.
I'm like, I don't want to think about consequences or details. Like, I just want to have fucking fun.
Are you out of your mind? You can't do that. So yeah, I think you have to have that balance. But certainly for me in the lifestyle, I can see where my preferences definitely land on the rigid. I get it. But I do really enjoy my time with my partner. So it's difficult to just go, yeah, I'm gonna try this. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's like, fuck, that was wasted.
Yeah, and that's fine as long as it's not like at a lifestyle event. We've talked about this a lot recently. If you go to an event and somebody hits on you and you have a connection and you want to play, I know you well enough to know that what goes through your head is, well, I just played with Susan or I just played with Jade. Do I really want to go through the hassle?
Yeah, do I need this really in my life? You know, yeah, that's
versus
exactly,
just living in the fucking moment, man.
That's exactly what I do. I absolutely do that. Yeah, it's not even like I'm weighing pros or cons.
No.
I'm just like, yeah, you know, I just don't know that I need that right now.
Exactly.
You know, like that, it's like the third drink. Yeah, I don't need to do that. You know, I'm good. You know,
you're comparing having sex with a beautiful woman to a third cocktail.
I mean, you know, it's all relative, but certainly there are some similarities. It's like, because I don't, like as I said, I don't weigh the pros or cons or the good or the bad. I weigh like, it's not necessary. It's not going to kill me if I don't. I guess, you know, I don't know if I want to get undressed. You know, do we really need to do that?
So I'm going to have to go upstairs. I'm going to have to shower. I'm going to have to put on some deodorant. I'm going to have to go through all of these things.
Yeah, I got to do all the things. I don't really know if I need to do that because I just had an amazing time with Susan or Jade or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm good, but thank you so much for the offer.
Yeah.
You know?
Whereas most men in the lifestyle are like, I would cut off my right foot to get fucked by a hot person tonight.
I know, it's so tough. So tough. But yeah, I am going to try to work my way out of that.
You know, it's funny though. I think there are a lot of women that chase after you because of that, because you aren't the one that's constantly going after them and pursuing them. It's almost like you're the hard to get guy in a room. And that turns a lot of women on. It turns me on. The guy that's the least likely to come up and get in my face and hit on me is the one that I am automatically drawn to.
Well, it's really, you know, and I've been accused of this many times in my life, but it's really like an indifference. It's not like that I don't find someone attractive or that I don't necessarily want to play with that person or that I'm not super fucking flattered that they're interested in me. I'm just indifferent.
You're also incredibly picky, not about physicality, about a person's approach.
Yeah.
If a person approaches you and it's too aggressive, you're immediately fucking out. If a person approaches you and they're too aloof, then nothing fucking happens because neither of you are going to pull the trigger.
Because I'm just as aloof.
So it has to be a complete happy medium. It has to be somebody that shows interest, that flirts with you first, that is probably going to make the first move, but isn't overly like thirsty.
Yeah, well, for sure. And of course, there has to be that connection of some kind. And see, that's the problem with these lifestyle events. So we're getting ready to go soon, obviously, to New Orleans. I don't know even what that looks like at all. I have zero expectations of that being a thing. But it's difficult for me to engage in conversation like in a club. Too fucking noisy. I'm not screaming over the music. I can't hear anything. It's really inconvenient. So for me, before I ever get to the point where play might happen, I have to have that connection. It's almost like the conversation has to start like in the dining room or something, or at the pool or somewhere innocuous. The club is out of the question for me. I'm so uncomfortable in that environment. I'm already like just off my game. Like I don't even care.
Well,
you know?
When I think of most of the connections that you've made at lifestyle events, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
You meet them at a bar in the hotel takeover or something like that first. And then you just happen to see them at the club. And then it's like the energy picks back up from where you left it off.
Well, yeah. And especially when you consider like this event is Naughty New Orleans we're going to. With everything that's going on, it's so fucking chaotic. It just seems chaotic to me in my mind. Like I have no idea how any of that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there's so much going on. Like I said, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I really don't care. I'm not focused on it.
Makes sense. I want to get fucked at Naughty. Just saying.
Well, that's your thing. Yeah, you're that person. I am not that person. So I'm good.
All right, let's move on to single guy tip because I have an interesting one this week. I've had kind of a flurry of messages. I do think it's we've talked about this on the show before. I think these things are a little bit seasonal, right? Like I think when the weather starts getting nice and the sun is out more, people all of a sudden become a little bit fucking naughtier. They're definitely a little thirstier. So they start throwing out a lot of messages. And the ones I've been getting lately, because I obviously am on a BDSM site, I'm not really using it to meet people at this time, but I'm still getting a lot of messages there, okay?
Right.
And a lot of the messages that I'm getting, it's a BDSM site. It's a kink site. It makes total sense that some discussion of fetishes may come up, right?
Right.
But there's a good way and a bad way to do that. So I want to read the good way first and then the bad way. Or should I do it the other way around?
No, read the bad first.
Okay, the bad first. So here's an example of what fucking not to do, all right, gentlemen? This guy reaches out and he says, hey, you're very pretty. How's it going? I said, fabulous. Thank you. How are you doing? He said, pretty good. Seems all couples are notorious for body scent play with me. I said, I don't know what that means.
Body scent play?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, I think it's because I would get them drenched in sweat and alone would send the wife over the edge, causing the hubby to be sent over the edge from that. Basically, I just like to sweat all over women and then send them back to their men smelling like me. I guess it's kind of a dominant thing. I don't know, but I'd love to have my scent all over you if you're open to that.
Unless you smell like bacon, I'm not interested.
I'm not fucking interested in that, man. First
so
of all,
weird.
There's a lot of things wrong with that. But the first is, why are you just assuming that I'm into that? There's no discussion of like, here's what I'm into. Is this maybe something that we're compatible in?
Well, that's because that's what he's into.
Exactly. He's just throwing out that this is what he likes and is expecting me. What did he expect me to say to that? Like, oh yeah, baby, sweat all over me.
This is one of those instances where I would want to reach out to the guy and go, hey, I'm just curious how often you do this type of thing and how often does it work?
Right.
I'm just curious because you're doing it. Either you're a complete maniac and you're insane because you're doing the same thing over and over expecting a different result and it doesn't work, or it really does and I want to know how often.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious.
Me too. But anyway, obviously, I don't think there's anything wrong with outlining what it is that you're into, but it's about how you do it. It's about the tact. It's about the delivery. I'm not necessarily opposed to a man sweating on me.
No.
If his whole thing, especially if we have a connection with each other, is to sweat on me and for me to smell like him, I don't find that off-putting. I would probably be into something like that. But I'm not into it when you lead with it and you just assume and you make these weird comments about like, this is what we're going to do together. Versus like, let's have a conversation, or even just outlining, here's what I'm into. If this is something you might be into as well, let's have a conversation about
it. Well, also, am I into it? Because he's expecting you to go home to your partner, which would be me, smelling like him.
Right.
Now, first of all, if you are intimate with somebody, that scent is already on you anyway. So what you're basically saying is you're going to compound that and make it a point to make sure that all of that essence is on you. What if I'm not into that?
That's a very good point. There's absolutely nothing on our profile that would indicate that we are into something like that.
Zero.
Because it is, to me, that's a form of like mental domination, right?
Well, for sure.
It's kind of an element of cuckolding.
It's like, it's how dogs pissing on something. It's marking your territory.
Yeah. And not that we're completely opposed to something like that, but there's absolutely nothing on our profile that would allude to that.
No.
So why are you making that very weird assumption?
Yeah, I don't, again, this is his thing. He wants it to be your thing because it's his thing.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it did feel like I was, if I would agree to something like that, it's like, oh, I'm using you in that way because I would get off on this. So it's not about having a conversation to decide if we're mutually compatible in this way. It's I want this and I am looking for this and you must fit into this box.
Right. And what you want is irrelevant.
So the message that I got that I think was perfect and really outlined what this should sound like read as follows. Hello there. I read through your bio and it seems like we may have some common interests. I have very clearly outlined in my profile and my bio what my interests are. If you would be so inclined to go read for yourself and see if it makes sense, I would really appreciate that. Also, please note that nothing that I have on my profile is set in stone. I'm a very explorative person and open to lots of different options. So despite my proclivities, nothing is a requirement as far as I'm concerned. I'd just love to take you out sometime and discuss if you're open to that. I mean, that's
perfect.
Great because not only is it like, and it gave me the opportunity to go and look at his bio and I didn't feel this weird pressure or anything. And he's right. We do have some things that totally align. There were also some things on there that we absolutely do not align on, but that's okay because he made it clear in that first message that these are just interests. None of
right.
it is a requirement. I'm not trying to fit you into a box. I'm not making assumptions that you're going to be into the exact same things that I'm into. Let's have a conversation about it. Let's have a fucking dialogue like adults.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's exactly how you lead in. Because what it does, it gives the person you're reaching out to the opportunity to decide if this is for them or not. It also gives them the opportunity to politely decline so that there's no weirdness between the two of you, you know?
Right.
That's the right way to do it. And he puts himself in a great position because if you are interested, you can tell him that. And if you're not, he gets it because he made it pretty fucking clear that you may or may not be.
Well, and this is obviously a guy that's open to negotiation, too.
For sure.
Because there were some things on his profile that I consider a little bit extreme. Not necessarily saying they're complete boundaries or things that I wouldn't be open to down the road, but they're not things I would do with somebody brand new.
Yeah, you don't really know. You have to have, you know, some kind of relationship with. But again, I think it's a great way to do that because he also is letting you know that he's pliable.
Right.
He's a guy that's, as you mentioned, open to negotiation, but that also means that he's level-headed.
Yes.
He understands that some of the things he's into, a lot of people aren't, and he's not trying to force that on anybody.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Now, what I will say, what I kind of wanted to throw out there is, I know that there are people that specifically get on these BDSM or fetish sites for one reason. For example, I am into water sports. That is my thing. I'm not saying I am, but like right. a person yeah. may get on there specifically for that thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with reaching out to people and letting them know that that is the one thing that you are interested in and looking for on the site, as long as you're okay with a lot of rejection. And
yeah.
again, it's still about the approach. It's not, I'm into water sports, can I pee on you? It's, this is something I am very interested in. I'm currently looking for a partner who's interested in the same. I'm wondering if you might be.
Yeah.
Those are two very different approaches. And I don't understand why guys don't get that.
No, and it's a great way to, like I said, allow someone to make that determination and to politely decline. If you force that kind of thing on somebody, you're very likely going to get a less than desirable response.
Right.
But if you reach out to someone with that type of a request or, you know, that type of statement, you could probably expect them to politely say, hey, it's not really something I'm into. I wish you the best of luck. Hope you find what you're looking for, as opposed to, you're a fucking creep. Don't ever reach out to me again.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why do that to yourself?
Yeah. You don't know? Put yourself in that position.
No. So I want to mention this to you because I wanted to save it for single guy tip of the week. So if you remember just a few weeks back when the Golden Knights were playing, you had a girls' night.
Yes.
And you and Susan and Jade and one of our other friends had a girls' night. You were watching the game. I had the opportunity to meet a single woman who was in town. She was here for business.
Why am I just now hearing about this?
Well, it was going to be a surprise. But here's what happened. I want to lay this out. So
this is single lady tip of the week?
Yeah, because I want to make clear, and I think it's only fair to put this out. Because, you know, we give guys a hard time a lot of times. This gal reaches out to me at least 2 weeks ahead of the time that she was coming into town. She is married. They're in a relationship. I saw the profile.
So she's not single. She's just solo playing.
She plays
playing.
As a single gal.
Solo yeah. playing.
Solo play. And she's coming into town for work, whatever. She had a couple of available nights. And she reached out to me. Again, I don't reach out to anybody first on any of the sites. They reach out to me. I respond. And that's how it goes. So we made a plan to meet because I knew what time I was taking you over to the house and how much time I had available. I made that very clear to her. I've got a window. If you're interested, this is what's happening. And she was staying at one of our favorite places off of the strip. Okay. So she was close to where you were, relatively close to where you were. She and I were supposed to communicate about 4 hours or so prior to you going or me taking you because she was getting out of her meeting at that point. I communicated with her. I never heard from her again. You and I take you and drop you off. And I just went home and, you know, that was the end of it. I just got a message back from her yesterday. This is at least 3 weeks now, maybe?
No, 2.5 weeks,
okay.
Probably.
Just got a message from her yesterday. I saw it this morning. Apologizing for getting caught up, and she met friends. I'm going to be back in town in a couple of weeks. I'd love
to get
together.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
My message was abso-fucking-lutely not. This is exactly why I rarely engage with people coming
what
in from
bitch.
Out of town. And I said, congratulations, you've made single gal tip of the week. I know she has no idea what I'm talking about. But that's exactly what I was like, no, absolutely not. Not a fucking chance.
That takes some balls, man.
So,
hey, I'm going to completely ghost on
yep.
you. I'm going to reach out weeks later and still expect you to want to hang out with me.
Yeah. So again, this is not exclusive to dudes. Gals do this too. Couples fucking do it all the
time.
Did
she respond to you after you said that?
No.
I'm sure not.
No, I probably will never likely hear from her again. In fact, I think I blocked her profile. So yeah, I'm done with that shit. So it's not just the dudes. This happens a lot, you know, and I think the part of the reason that a woman who plays solo or a solo woman would do something like that is probably because she's given a wide berth as a gal. And
of course.
And I'm sure that's happened more than once. And I'm sure on more than one occasion, whoever the poor sap is that she reached out to and ghosted was like, oh, hey, no problem. Let me know when you're back in town, or, yeah, let's try this again sometime. Fuck that.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
I just had this conversation with a friend the other day about standards and holding to your standards.
Yes.
Just because you're a fucking horny dude does not mean that you should lower your fucking standards.
Absolutely
or
not.
Accept bad behavior.
No, because you're the reason these people behave badly.
Yep.
If everyone stood their ground and didn't acquiesce to that kind of shit, people wouldn't behave that way.
Exactly.
That's exactly how you stop people from doing that. And how many times do we hear it? Oh, people ghosting on us, or this person did this and they didn't show up. They were 40 minutes late. Why did you go forward?
Yeah.
Why did you try to meet them again? Just stop it. That's the only way to keep that from happening. I don't know whether she learned a lesson or not. Don't know whether she gave a shit, but I was like, abso-fucking-lutely.
Probably not. That's a level of entitlement that makes people think that they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Right. And this was a woman who plays solo. Coupled person playing solo, coming in from out of town, probably figuring, you know, no big deal. I got another shot when I get back in. He'll be ready. He'll be willing to meet me. Fuck no. Absolutely fucking
not. She clearly knows nothing about you.
No, I am not the fucking one, man. No, but it is not exclusive to dudes. It's crazy to me. It really is. But how many people probably will overlook that and meet her again at some other, at a later date?
Yeah, a lot.
For sure. So, yeah, sorry, guys. Shame on you if you do that, you know?
Well, I would love to get to part two of my naughty California trip because it is some pretty steamy details. Day two got naughty. It got real naughty.
It was early naughty.
It was really early in the morning and it was fucking hot. So we're going to be covering that very soon. But first, we want to say thank you to the partners of the Front Porch Swingers podcast. This episode of FPS is brought to you by our friends at Permescent. The summer months are here, and for a lot of us lifestylers, that means a ton of lifestyle events. But is your swinger bag ready for all of those events? If not, it is time to stock up now. Make sure that you're also getting the highest quality products to put in your swinger bag. For example, Permescent has lubes. I absolutely love their hybrid lube. I've mentioned this before, but I break out very easily, and I've never had any issues with that because it's very high quality ingredients that they use. They also have amazing condoms, and one of my favorite things to put in your swinger bag are their before and after wipes made with aloe, so they leave you feeling and smelling so fresh. Make sure you stock up on your swinger bag for your summer events by heading over to promescent.com/FPS. That'll give you a 10% discount off of all of Promescent's amazing products. Again, that's promescent, promescent.com/FPS for 10% off of their bedroom wellness products. Big news, you guys. We have a brand new event coming to Las Vegas that we could not be more excited about. The first Saturday of each month, we are going to be opening Tease Las Vegas. The first of its kind. It's a speakeasy lifestyle meet and greet opportunity with a twist. And you'll get a lot more details if you go to members.frontporchswingers.com. The first one is going to be July 1st. So if you're in the Las Vegas area or you're coming in during that time, make sure you hit us up at members.frontporchswingers.com for the password to the speakeasy. We are so excited to be doing something unique and bringing the Las Vegas area something it has never had before. And then, very shortly after that, Pod Bash 2023. Want to give you guys a few updates on some of the things we have planned for that. We have a VIP dinner. We have an offsite gentlemen's club visit. We have amazing pool parties with games and giveaways. We have nightly dance parties on premises in their amazing club. We bought out the entire boutique hotel for this event, and we could not be more excited to show you what we've got. But the best part about Pod Bash is the people. This is really an event about connection. So if you're somebody who's social and likes to make friends in the lifestyle, you need to come to Pod Bash. The people that come back year after year. They make lifelong friends that they travel with throughout the year. It really is a special experience. So you can find information on that again at members.frontporchswingers.com. So if you guys did not listen to last week's episode, I highly recommend going back and listening to that one before you listen to this, because this may not have the context that you need to understand exactly what happened. Last week, I talked about day one of my naughty trip to California to see the hot, kinky single guy. And it's the first time I ever went out of state to visit somebody, and I had a fucking blast. And today I'm going to be talking about day two. And it started real early in the morning, I'll tell you that.
I sent you a text message. I got up about 6 o'clock in the morning, I guess. And I assumed you were just stirring. Like you were just getting up.
I was not just getting up.
Because that's the norm for you. It was about 6 o'clock. I make your coffee. We do the whole thing. I had no idea that this episode had already begun.
So basically, he left late on the first day that I was there. He had to go to work for a few hours, and then he went home and slept for a few hours, and he said he was going to come back about 6 a.m. And this was kind of hot. I set my alarm for 5:30. I got up, I brushed my teeth, I quickly hopped in the shower, I put my pajamas back on, because kind of the fantasy that he and I had discussed on day one was the idea of, like, not necessarily me being asleep, obviously, because I wanted to get up and clean myself up, but be laying in bed prepped and ready for him to come in the door. And the hotel was really interesting. I keep calling it a hotel, but it was more, it was a really interesting concept.
Did you say they call it like an un-hotel or non-hotel or something?
Yeah, so it's basically like a bunch of very small Airbnbs that are all in the same building. And it felt like that too. I mean, it just had that kind of more communal feel to it. But it was also cool because the door had two locks from the inside, or you could lock it from the outside. But if I left both of the locks unlocked, he could just come in.
Right.
So I didn't have to get up and answer the door for him when he got there. And that was also kind of sexy. It felt like, you know, he was coming into an apartment to, like, fuck me. You know what I mean?
No, it's super hot. A lot of times, actually, either Susan or Jade, I'll, when I go to their house, one of their houses to play, they will have just be getting home from work, and, like, you know, Susan will jump in the shower or whatever, and Jade will do the same, and I'm on my way there, I'll text them, and they're like, okay, I'll probably be in the bathtub or in the shower, just come in. And a lot of times I'll get there and they're already in bed. It's super fucking hot.
Yeah, that's hot. There's something very sexy about early morning sex to me too. You and I used to do this all the time. We really don't anymore. I really think we should get back to it. Like, when you very first wake up in the morning and you're still kind of groggy and foggy headed, and for whatever reason, I'm super fucking horned up first thing in the morning. Like, that is by far when my sex drive is at its highest, is when I very first wake up. So the idea of him kind of slipping in and slipping in, you will, was really sexy.
I saw what you did there.
So anyway, I get in the shower, I brush my teeth, I unlock the door, I get back into bed. I have this very small little pajama thing on. It's like, it is pajamas, but it's also kind of sexy. It's like almost a mix between a nightgown and lingerie.
Right.
And it's very, very low cut in the front. And of course, I had no panties on, and it's very short. So I'm laying in the bed. He texts me that he's there. He comes in, immediately just jumps into bed with me and starts just touching me everywhere. And at first, it was very sensual. He's just kind of like rubbing on my booty. He's spooning me a little bit. He kind of leans over a couple times and kisses me on the neck, you know, brushes my hair aside to kind of touch on my neck and on my shoulder. It was very sensual and very erotic. I was immediately turned on by it. And I think a lot of that had to do with how good the first day was. But also, it was really interesting. I've been noticing this a lot with me lately. I have a thing with scent with men. Obviously, if a guy stinks, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know if it's pheromones or what it is, but there are certain men that the second that they're in my presence and I smell them, I get more turned on.
No, it's definitely a pheromone biological thing. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's like a biological connection that you have to somebody. So he's in the bed and I'm smelling all of his like hormones, and I can tell he's getting turned on. And there's this one moment where I can start to feel him like get hard on me. We're spooning each other. He's behind me and his cock starts to get hard. And I am instantly fucking wet at that. It was so fucking sexy to me. And so I reach down, I kind of start very lightly playing with my pussy. And again, you guys have to remember, if you listen to the part one, this is a very dominant man, and I like it that way. A lot of the role play leading up to this was very much so him telling me what to do and me being like, yes, okay, I'll do that. And I just love that he took control. So there was one moment I was playing with my pussy. He felt my hand moving, my arm moving.
Sure.
And he's like, are you playing with my pussy without asking? And I was like, yes. And he's like, you're going to be punished for that. And I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, you did it on purpose, probably.
So he's like, I'm going to play with your pussy. And I'm like, okay. So he reaches around, starts playing with my pussy from the back. Then he starts biting me on my neck from the back, and I fucking loved it. So it was a real progression. I mean, obviously it started off very, like I said, slow and sensual and erotic, and then it just picked up speed. He's biting me on the neck, and then he's kind of choking me on my neck a little bit while he's still playing with my pussy, and then he starts whispering shit in my ear while he's doing all of it, like just dirty shit, like, I'm gonna fuck that pussy until it's so sore today, and you're gonna leave to go back to Vegas thinking about me because that pussy's gonna be sore for days, and I'm going to leave my marks all over you. And I was just like, yes, do it.
Which he totally did, by the way.
So anyway, it was not long before, you know, fucking penetration happened. He gets off the bed, gets clothes off, puts on a condom, gets back on. He is rock fucking hard and he enters me from behind. So we're spooning fucking and he's fucking me and it was so fucking nice. I was very sore from day one. I'll say that though. Like the initial stretch, the initial pump into me, I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long morning.
This might have been a bad idea. So he starts fucking me like that. And then he wants me to ride his cock. So I jump on. I start riding him. We're making out with each other. He's pulling my hair. He's choking me. It wasn't quite as aggressive as it was the night before up to that point. But it was very, you know, animalistic and very primal and just sexy. Very, very sexy. And, you know, he's staring up at me. And I really think it was interesting because day one, there was a lot of connection there and there was a lot of fun that we had. Day two felt different. It was almost like the awkwardness was gone and we were just so much more comfortable with each other that it was just natural. And, you know, the other thing is like, I didn't have a stitch of fucking makeup on. My hair's up in a fucking messy bun, basically.
You don't even go out of the house like that.
I know. I don't even go to the fucking grocery store looking like that. And here I am with this man that I barely know looking like that. And I felt sexy. I wasn't even thinking of that. There was no neuroses there whatsoever. And I think it was because the first day went as well as it did. And I knew that he was super fucking into me.
Well, that's, you know, you talk about that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just, it's just a level of comfort. And that's some, that's the kind of thing that I guess that's why I really do enjoy that level of connection with a partner. Like, because you don't give a shit about makeup when you're in a situation like that or your hair or, you know, any of that stuff. And with my regular play partners, it's much the same. I mean, literally right out of the shower or whatever, and it's on. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just so fucking hot. It doesn't matter. They don't care. You know, and there's something to be said for that, I think.
So then I get off of him. I take the condom off. I get in between his legs. I start sucking on his cock and his balls. And he's ridiculously sensitive. He said he's always like that in the morning. But it was so fucking hot because I'm like flicking my tongue on his balls and his legs kind of start to shake. And I start flicking my tongue on his cock. And he's making all of these amazing, like, almost like painful moaning noises. So I asked him, is everything okay? Are you too sensitive? He's like, no, I'm good. Keep going. It feels so good. But it was very sexy because to me, it was just him allowing his body to completely react to what I was doing to it. And it was driving me fucking crazy. And then once he kind of got over the sensitivity, he really started to like face fuck me. He put his hand on the back of my head and he's pushing it down and I'm choking on it. And there's slobber going everywhere. I'm crying. You know, he pulled me off his cock at one point to ask me a question. He's like, do you like that cock in your mouth? Yanks my head off his cock. And I'm like, yes, I love it. Puts my head back down. It was just aggressive. And I think the reason I've really been thinking a lot about it since I went to California, because we all know I'm a fucking overthinker. I have to analyze fucking everything.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that turns me on as much as it does, aside from kind of the biological aspect of it, I do think that there's just this kind of primal element that if you allow yourself to enjoy it, you're going to fucking really enjoy it. But I think for me, it's also the ability to turn my brain off. You know, I'm not thinking in those moments. I'm letting him think for me. And as somebody who has ADD and has such a busy brain, it feels like a vacation. It's so relaxing to just let someone else make all the choices.
Yeah, when, I mean, basically letting somebody else steer the ship, there's nothing to think about. You just can lose yourself in that moment. It takes nothing, no thought process at all to simply enjoy something, especially when you're not working to do it.
Yes, you know, exactly.
You're not in charge of anything. You've given that kind of consensually given that power to somebody else. So all there is to do is just sit back and revel in it.
So there was another point that I'm basically deep throating him. He pulls me off his cock again and he's like, what do you want now from daddy? And I was like, I want you to flog me. And he's like, okay, go stand over by the wall and present your ass. And I was like, okay. So I pull my little nightgown whatever thing up over my ass. I put my hands up against the wall and he breaks out the flogger. Both floggers. I brought a flogger, he brought a flogger, and he had a neoprene paddle. So he lays all of them out right by where I'm standing, and he's kind of teasing me at first. Like, he has one flogger in each hand, and he's just running them up and down my back, up and down my legs, onto my calves. He very lightly starts kind of hitting my thighs with them, and then he goes onto my ass, and then onto my back. He kind of flicked his wrist up in between my legs at one point and hit my pussy very lightly with it, just teasing the shit out of me. me, and I was dripping wet. I could literally feel myself dripping onto my thighs. That's how turned on I was. I mean,
yeah, that's really your wheelhouse.
Oh my God. There is nothing fucking hotter than being flogged to me. I always say this to people. It looks very, very intimidating. If you're one of those people that's like, oh, I could never be flogged.
Right.
Trust me, you fucking can. It doesn't have to be painful either. For me.
Well, they confuse it with whipping.
1,000%. But also you have to keep in mind that it's all about who's wielding the weapon and your communication ahead of time. Now, of course, this one got fucking rough, but I've had other flogging sessions that basically just feel like a deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
They're very thuddy. They're not hitting me super hard. So it just feels like I'm getting all of these pressure points taken care of at the same time. It feels fucking amazing. Don't knock it till you try it. That's all I'm saying.
No question about it. There are levels of sensitivity to that people really can't quite understand until they've done it.
Yes. Yeah, and completely different than a whip. 1,000%.
It's not even the same sport.
Exactly. So, and what was interesting too is the flogger that I brought had very, very thick strips. It's very thuddy. His was much more stingy. So those two sensations together was really interesting, especially when he really started to get going. He was basically doing like a figure eight, right? Where he was whipping me with one and then the other and then one and then the other. Then he'd swap hands. So I was getting both sensations on both cheeks. But it felt so different, and it kept my mind guessing the entire time. Every time he would land on one side, it was like I knew what was coming on the other side, but it felt so different than the one side he was on. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this before. You can't get into a rhythm when it comes to you and flogging or anything like that, because once you start getting into a rhythm, you just get bored. You're out of it entirely. Just you're not there anymore. So to keep you focused, it's got to not only be different sensations like a thuddy or a stingy, it's also got to be different parts of the body, lower to upper, upper to lower, upper, upper, lower, lower kind of thing. You've got to rotate.
Thighs, back, ass.
Otherwise,
that's the other thing. I can always tell somebody who's super amateur at this because all they do is focus on your ass.
Right.
That's not going to do much for the average person. You got to switch things up because you have all sorts of different points of pleasure on the back side of your body and the front side.
Yeah, for sure. But for you specifically, someone's got to be able to pivot and rotate and kind of alter their rhythm.
The other thing I will say is I was very concerned that we were going to get kicked out of this place
because it
was fucking loud. And the room was such that it was echoing like crazy. I mean, it was bouncing off of the walls and off of the floor. The walls were very thin. There was clearly somebody staying right next to us and I could hear them talking. So the entire time it did kind of take me out of it. It was not that it wasn't sexy. It was amazing. But in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, it's 7:30 in the morning.
Well, the good news is you're checking out at 11, so fuck it.
Yeah, but I didn't want to get kicked out before I was done having fucking sex either.
For
I wanted to really enjoy the time there. So, you know, I could have cared less what anyone thought. I just didn't want to get kicked out.
Right.
So there were a couple of moments where I was like, we might want to pull back a little bit because he really started hitting hard, especially with my really thuddy one, because he asked which one I liked better. Of course, I brought my favorite one with me.
Right.
So he really started to use that one all over my back, all over my ass. There was one moment he stopped. He came and was like rubbing on my ass and he's like, oh, it's this beautiful shade of red. I wish you could see it right now. And he starts choking me from the back and biting on my ear at the same time and then reaches around with his other hand and starts playing with my pussy just ever so lightly. And then he just stops. Stops everything and goes back to the flogging. And my entire body felt like it was on fire in the hottest way possible. Like every cell in my body was at attention.
Well, that's the whole thing, that whole changing the rhythm kind of thing and changing up the levels of sensitivity and the impact focus. Otherwise, like I said, you just get bored.
Yeah. So I did start to get a little bit foggy and I told him I probably needed a little bit of a break. And he's like, perfect. I'm going to stick my cock back in your mouth. And I'm like, okay. So he pushes me down onto my knees, shoves the cock in my mouth, starts face fucking me. Oh my God, the whole thing was so hot. I had my hands on his thighs and he's just pushing into me over and over and over again. I hit my head on the wall at one point. I didn't give a fuck because I was facing the wall. My back was to the wall.
Right.
And he was face fucking me basically into the wall and my head hit it. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, don't be sorry. Let's keep going. It was just too fucking hot. The whole thing was just very, like I said, aggressive. And I kept looking up at his face and he had this just look of hunger on his face, this look of intent. It was so fucking sexy to me.
Yeah, there are very few things as intense as when someone is doing something, you're with someone and you're in that kind of, that you're at that level of passion and they're looking at you as if this is the only thing on earth that matters right now.
Exactly. You know? That's exactly
it's
what
so
it is.
So fucking hot.
The world could be burning down outside the window and it wouldn't fucking matter. Yeah. And I can tell by that look on his face. It's such a turn on to me. So anyway, he face fucked me for a little while longer. And then he asked what I wanted. I was like, I want you to spank me and I want you to fuck me. So I get on the wall again. I put my hands on the wall. He starts spanking me and then pulls himself into me and starts fucking me. And it is hard. It is aggressive. I mean, he is grabbing into my ass cheeks. He's grabbing into like the little crevice in my hips and just digging his fingers in. And every once in a while, he'll just stop and spank my ass on each side so fucking hard. And I was gushing wet. I came so hard. I squirted a little bit on the floor. I mean, and keep in mind, this is all before 8 a.m., okay?
Yeah, because like I said, we had a very brief text message at like 6. You did not tell me what was going on, just that, you know, you were up and moving around and that kind of thing. I was like, okay, I'm headed to the gym, you know, call me whenever and let me know what you guys are up to. And because I knew you had the entire day, obviously. So yeah, I wasn't even thinking that that was what was happening.
So, and then this is where things get really interesting. So he fucks me for a while. I come multiple times. He finally came and then he was like, I would like to lay down for a little bit. I was like, perfect. So we get in the bed together and I never do this. Hardly even with you. I literally cuddled up with him, put my head on his chest, and I fell asleep in 2 minutes.
Now, normally when you fall asleep, well, in order for you to fall asleep, you take up all the room. You just turn your back on me anyway.
And take up most of the
and
bed.
And take up most of the bed and go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's the norm. You know, you might start out close to me, like if we're on the couch or something, but in bed, never.
So this was weird. I don't know if it was a mixture of like how intense all of this was and it's first thing in the morning. We've already been fucking for 2 hours straight. I don't fucking know, but I fell asleep in 2 minutes. I woke up and I was just in this haze of like, what the fuck just happened? I barely even remember crawling into the bed and all of a sudden I'm waking up and it's like 45 minutes later.
Right.
So that was really interesting. I just let him sleep for a little bit. I went into the living room area, did a couple of work things, and then he woke up probably about 9 or a little after and he comes out and is, you know, sitting with me in the living space and we're just kind of talking. And it was interesting how it went from ridiculously primal, crazy play to us snuggled up in bed sleeping next to each other. It was just a very weird dynamic, not in a bad way, just a very different situation than I normally am used to.
Well, I think it's largely because of the fact that obviously you were comfortable enough with him to be able to do that. The situation lent itself to being able to, or and I guess really kind of having to go from one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just did. He at one point had to leave for work the day before, and then you had some downtime, then you guys had some just basic vanilla time and went to dinner and those kinds of things. So being able to go from one of those extremes to the next, I think really just kind of lent itself to the theme of the weekend. You know?
Yeah, it was just very comfortable. So anyway, he's like, are we going to get back in bed? We don't have that much time left in the room. And I was like, yeah, I need to start getting ready about 10. I think it was 9 at that point.
Right.
So I was like, we have an hour. And he's like, okay. So we get back into bed and he's like, I really just want to like take you in for a little bit. I want to smell you. I just want us to like spend some time just, you know, enjoying each other. And I was like, okay. What ensued for the next hour was, again, incredibly unique. Not something I would normally do, especially with somebody who's as dominant and aggressive as this man is. Because typically, you know, when I'm with a guy like that, it's a treat for me. I don't get that all the time. So I love the aggressive play. I'm, you know, constantly seeking that out from them. This was weird. He puts on a condom, gets on top of me, enters me, and what ensues for literally an hour straight is one of the most intense lovemaking sessions I have ever experienced. He is slowly pumping into me. He's kissing me on the neck. He bit me a couple times, but for the most part, it's just so slow and sensual. And he's saying things to me like, I'm so glad I got to be in this pussy. It felt so good. Thank you for giving me access to this pussy. And I'm saying things like, oh, thank you for giving me that beautiful cock. I loved it so much. It was just really different. And he's on top of me the entire time. Again, I would normally get so fucking bored with that.
Yeah, it sounds like your fucking worst nightmare.
With most guys, that would last about 5 minutes. And I'd be like, oh, okay, this is fucking over. But I think the reason it kept my attention is because he was constantly talking to me. It was like we were having a conversation that we could have had sitting in the living room. His cock just happens to be inside of me.
Yeah, but also not even remotely close to the type of play that you're accustomed to. Certainly, you and I don't play that way.
No, not at all. And again, the entire time, it's very, very slow. There was a couple times he kind of picked up speed a little, and he'd say something a little raunchier, like, oh, is that pussy sore? Is my pussy sore? Things like that. But for the most part, it was just very sensual and sweet, and I don't know. It drove me fucking crazy. I don't know what it was. I think it was just everything in culmination. It was also the fact that I was the most relaxed that I have been in a very long time, because keep in mind, aside from a couple of small work things here and there, I was off for 2 days straight, which never fucking happens. I didn't have any responsibilities at our home. We weren't coming to our studio. I wasn't getting on TikTok lives. I wasn't doing any of that shit. So I could just focus on feeling good, pleasure, and this man.
Well, I think, again, so for us, for example, our play is rough. And it's, I mean, I cannot remember the last time it wasn't. So, I mean, that's just how it is. But if you think about the rest of our time together, like when we're not having sex, we're just very soft and sweet with each other.
Yeah, we're always touching each other and holding hands and kissing.
So that dichotomy makes sense, right? This is not that different, in my opinion. You had this rough session the day before, then again this morning. Now, because you've already had that, it makes sense to me that this would almost be not a welcome change because of the... You know, again, you need a variance. You can't just be singularly pleasured or singularly stimulated. You need to keep guessing, right? You need that.
Yes, I personally feel, as I'm saying this, I'm kind of having the revelation, actually. To me, it was almost like aftercare.
Yeah.
Like, everything had been so rough. He had, I mean, when I was talking about him flogging me and everything, that lasted like a half hour. That was not a quick little thing. My ass was fucking stinging, and then he's face-fucking me. I'm hitting my head against the wall. He's fucking the shit out of me from behind. I mean, it was very rough and a long, long time of rough play. So I think it makes sense that this was kind of like the come down from all of that. It was the same thing as aftercare after a BDSM session, basically.
For sure.
So it was really interesting. There was one point that he just totally set me over the edge. And for whatever reason, I always have these snapshots during play sessions that I feel like are seared into my fucking brain. Like, I will never forget this one instance. And he's on top of me, fucking me. We're being very slow and sensual together. And I told him that I was getting ready to come, and he gets right down by my ear, and he's basically breathing into my ear while he's saying this, and he's like, yes, please come for me, please come all over this cock. But it was just this tone in his voice while he was doing it. It was sweet. It was just, it was so, I don't even know how to describe it, just erotic. And I came like crazy, and it was one of the longest, maybe not in most intense, but longest orgasms I've ever had. I swear it felt like I was coming for like 3 minutes.
Well, again, I think it's, as you mentioned, I think there's a level of aftercare there, but certainly because of the very obvious difference in the stimulations and the stimuli, I think that's a big part of it. You went from super aggressive for several encounters leading up to this, that was probably on some level a welcome change because you weren't expecting it. Just like with the flogger, different sensations, you know, different parts of your body kind of thing. It kept you guessing. And this maybe was a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that was pretty much the end of our time together in the hotel. I went and got showered. He showered. We left the hotel. Then we were out for the day, right? We were going and doing a bunch of different things. We stopped into Topgolf really quick, and we went to a couple other places. We went to this kind of casino place that had like a sushi restaurant in it and a bar. We spent quite a bit of time there. We were just kind of hanging out and waiting until my flight, basically. And it was really interesting how different day two was comparatively to day one. Because day one, if you guys remember from the last episode, not that it was awkward, but it was definitely this feeling of like, I didn't know how things were going to progress. I didn't know how things were going to get sexy. Because up until we were driving to the hotel, it was very friendly, very vanilla. Day two was not that. It was flirtatious. He was constantly reaching over and like touching my pussy. I was wearing jeans, but he would like reach over and touch my pussy. I reached over and rubbed his cock. At one point we were in the casino and he kind of grabbed me and we were kissing on each other. He's touching on my ass. I mean, it was a very, very flirtatious dynamic that second day. And it felt like a tease kind of, because I'm not going to say why, but he was not able to host at his home. Okay.
Right.
So we didn't have anywhere to go. There, we knew play was basically over unless we were going to do something in his fucking car or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, there was no opportunity for us to fuck again after we checked out of the hotel. So it felt like this buildup. Like, I knew that we both wanted to be naked with each other again. I wanted his cock again so badly, but that simply wasn't on the table. And that was kind of fun. It felt like this entire day of like teasing each other.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you first got there, like you were telling me, and then of course you kind of reiterated on the last episode, things were a little slow in the beginning, but that's to be expected. You just got there. You only had only seen him once before. And so, yeah, I think there's a little bit of moving in and getting to know you kind of thing. Now that ship has sailed,
right?
And I think now it's kind of like all those endorphins are still running, and it's, you know, not being able to keep your hands off of each other kind of thing, because what had just happened or what has happened the past couple of days is still running through your mind.
Oh, and that's exactly what it was. I was replaying the scenes in my mind all fucking day. So what does that do? It gets me fucking horned up. And there was one point he was driving me to the airport and I got a notification on my phone saying that my flight was delayed. And he was like, do you think we can find somewhere that we can get in the back seat and do something? And I was like, okay. So we kind of drove around for a little bit. We really didn't find anything that made sense. We were in a very busy area. Yeah. Right by that airport, there was just really no opportunity for that. But even that kind of felt fun. It was just like this, you know, naughty little adventure we were going on together to see what we could do. And then even when I was leaving, you know, our hands are all over each other. I'm touching on his leg. He's reaching over and touching my leg. You know, as we're pulling up to the airport for him to drop me off, he's making out with me in the car and, you know, still has his hand wrapped around my neck with this very kind of aggressive feel to it. He's like, I just want to make sure you know, that I'm still boss even though you're leaving. And I was like, I know. It was just this constant role play all day, and it was so sexy. And I mean, I missed the shit out of you. I really did. And I was so happy to come home to you. But it was a very needed 2 days. When I look back on this as a whole, this was the most relaxed and most just, you know, free of all adult responsibilities I've been in as long as I can remember. And to also be able to share it with somebody that I had this ridiculously hot sexual time with, was, it was wonderful. It really, really was such a positive experience.
Well, I don't think you and I put enough emphasis on time off, honestly. I mean, we just don't. We have so much going on. In fact, I told you had to take these 2 days. You were trying to talk yourself out of it at one point. But I thought it was a good idea for a number of reasons. First of all, it is a break, obviously. And secondly, this is something I think the kind of thing we have to do, not this exact thing, but the type of thing we have to do when it presents itself more often, because I do think this is a prelude into where we end up in our relationship. We're going to have external relationships at some point, you certainly. So I think that this was important to do that just to see how it affected both of us, if yeah. nothing else. So your flight was delayed multiple times. You didn't actually get home or get land until like 11 o'clock at night.
Yep.
So I picked you up from the airport and you know, we just brought in luggage and you went into the bathroom, cleaned yourself up. I was naked when you came out. I was ready to go. Like, it wasn't 5 minutes that we were in the house.
Well, I want to talk about that because one of the things that people kind of provided feedback on from the last episode was, you didn't tell us how Brian feels about this entire thing. Well, that's because the story wasn't over, people. Be patient.
Yeah, no.
So now that I've told the whole story, how did you feel about all of it?
Well, the one thing that I tend to do, especially like in a situation like this, which is not the norm, but when you're out somewhere with someone, or I'm out and you're with someone at our place or whatever, I always find shit to occupy myself with, right? I'm either going to do some work, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to find something to do. And that's exactly what I did. I, you know, did a little bit of work at home, went to the gym, and just did the stuff around town that I would ordinarily do.
And just, no, you went and fucked Jade is what you did.
Well, yes, it's what I would ordinarily do. So I went and played with Jade. And that gave me moments of not having to concern myself with what you were doing. I was not in any way concerned for, you know, what was happening. I'm always concerned for your safety, but I knew who you were with and where you were and that you were safe and protected. So my mind was clear of that, which was also kind of nice for me. It was a nice break for me not to have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I kept myself occupied, but as time got closer to you coming home, particularly the day you got home. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're not going to be home until at that point you were supposed to be home at like 9. It wasn't until 11 that you got home. I have all fucking day to play this out in my head, right? And even when I was going to the airport to pick you up, I thought, well, you know, it's going to be really late. She's going to be exhausted. And you were tired. I was tired, certainly past my bedtime. But I was so fucking worked up by the time we got home. It didn't really hit me until we got home just how fucking amped up I was. I was like, fuck it, this has got to happen. Like, there's no way this is not going to happen. So yeah, I was, you know, it was intense for sure. My level of anticipation was high, but it really did grow exponentially by the time you got home.
Well, do you feel like overall it was a positive experience?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean,
what I will say is our sex that night was some of the most intense, connected, passionate sex we have ever had, probably ever. And that's what people will never understand that don't play the way that we do. I get it. Not everyone wants to play solo. Not,
which, by the way, is saying something. So put that into perspective.
It sure fucking is, because we have great fucking sex all the time, but this was on a different level. I felt it even just permeating in the air when I walked in the bedroom. Yeah. The energy was so just heightened, and well, everything felt heightened. It felt like this chaotic, sexy energy. And the sex that we had that night was so fucking crazy and so connected. What I was going to say is, we know a lot of people, they will never play separately, and that is totally fucking okay.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons it works for us is because of that mystery. You didn't know what had happened the last 2 days.
I had no idea.
You knew that I had been fucked crazy because I told you I was fucking sore.
Right.
That's about all you knew about anything that happened. So it wasn't until we're in bed together that you're starting to hear any of these details.
Right.
And you're asking me to, you know, show me what you did to his cock and show me how you rode his cock. And, you know, me being able to kind of share those surprises with you, that is what made it so erotic.
Yeah. Again, I mean, to your point, you go back a couple of weeks ago, however long it's been now, I don't remember, when we were in Atlanta at Splash. And, you know, it was really one of those situations where, for whatever reason, we got a lot of questions and, I don't want to say side eye, but a little bit of judgment, like, because of the way we play. I think largely because we were turning people down because they wanted to play. And it's like, look, we don't play together. I'm sorry. Well, what does it take for you to do that? Absolutely nothing. We don't play together. And so I got tired of talking about it. You got tired of talking about it. And then this happens, right? We went through a week where it was like, fuck, I'm tired of dealing with this bullshit with people.
Yeah, but this experience solidified that right. We do it the right way for us.
Well, that's my point. This makes clear to me, at least for me, why what we do works for us. I don't need to see it. In fact, I don't want to see it. It eliminates all of the mystery for me. I got to spend, you know, almost 48 hours basically playing in my mind what potentially was going on, only then to have you come home and then actually get that information real time while we're having sex. People who don't do that will never understand it and honestly are missing out. Because
maybe not.
No. Because you and I have also played together in the same room. And then we've gone home and reconnected.
Yeah, but
it ain't even close to
the
same.
There are a lot of people that do things very differently and it works for them. There are a lot of people that couldn't do what we did.
No. I get that. But for me, I know instinctively that there is a variance because we've done it both ways. And I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's lifestyle or fucking anything. You really can't fully appreciate or understand what it is that you're doing or enjoying if you haven't had the alternative.
That's right? Probably true.
And so you and I have done both those things. We've played all those different scenarios. There's nothing like that.
I agree.
There is nothing like that. So impossible to explain to someone who doesn't really enjoy that type of play.
Well, it was fucking hot. I appreciate this man endlessly. He does plan to come back to Vegas sometime this summer. So hopefully there will be another retelling of our time together in the near future.
Well, that's the other thing. I think this is a great situation where you've got, you know, it's a quarterly thing or whatever. He comes here, then you go there. He comes here, you go there. I think that's a really nice balance for what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really is. So from that perspective, I like that concept.
It was fucking hot. Cool. It was wonderful. So anyway, if you guys want to hear more about this experience, last week's bonus episode was basically teasers of this week's episode and some things that you're not going to hear on either of the episodes. So basically, if you just want more naughty fucking details, make sure you join us on our Patreon account, our Patreon community, for more stories and more stuff. And we do that every single week. So if you guys want that, you can head on over to patreon.com/frontporchswingers. We endlessly appreciate our Patreon community for all of their support. They they are the ones that make it possible to do pretty much everything that we've done in terms of, you know, our business and the things that we do in the lifestyle. So thank you to them. If you want the naughtier shit, including me getting dicked down by quite possibly the largest cock I've ever had in my entire life, which is fucking saying something, people, head on over to OnlyFans.com/frontporchswingers. Make sure that you join us for a future event, guys, whether you live here in Las Vegas or you're traveling in or you want to come to one of our out-of-state events, head on over to members.frontporchswingers.com. Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. Even if you don't plan to come to an event right now, get on the site and put in an application for membership, because we send out monthly newsletters basically letting you know where we're going, what we're up to. So if you're curious if we're coming to your city, that's a really easy way to find out. Again, that's members.frontporchswingers.com. I think that's what we have for you guys this week.
Yeah, we have so many fucking events coming up. You're gonna have to get on that site and check it out. Denver this week, obviously, that's a wrap. That's happening. We'll be in New Orleans. If anybody's gonna be there for Naughty New Orleans, let us know. We're gonna do kind of a little meet and greet bar kind of thing and meet some folks and have some fun. We'll, you know, reach out to us. We'll touch base with you. And then I think August 5th, pool party, man. Sin City fucking Saturday pool party here in Vegas. Can't fucking wait.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.